Good morning. Happy New Year, my Forever Church family. I'm grateful to be here with you. I'm going to pray for us. For those of you who are newer, I'm Amy Botorff. I am the prayer director here at Gourd Springs. It is my great honor and privilege to pray over you and over our church. So it's a new year. We do sometimes some new things, and I missed my cue. I was supposed to be here in the beginning when the boys come, not at the end, so that's my fault. So we're getting double prayers now. Not a bad thing, right? I think we need them. So if you would please bow your head with me. Father God, your word says, whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. Lord, you pour out your blessings upon us in amazing ways. Thank you for being a generous God. Help us to reflect your generosity in the ways we deal with others. We want to be a light in our communities through our generosity. Show us how to reach the hurting in our communities through creative, generous giving. Grant us a greater sensitivity for those who are in need. And as we move into this new year with you, we want to turn our eyes on you. Help us to set with you and be saturated with your presence and your word. Help us to hear your voice above all other voices. And when we hear your voice, help us to take hold of it and run, because we are a family of runners whose course is built on faith. And we can forget what is behind us and run with perseverance the race you have marked for us. We are able to focus on Christ. We can grab hold of the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that is my prayer this year, Lord, that we would take hold of your vision for us, your will for us as individuals and as a church family. Help us to run together the race you mark out for us in this new year, and we will be grateful for what you will do in us and through us, and we ask that that would overflow in our communities. Transform us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Amy. But one of my points today, I want us to focus on prayer, and so Amy's going to help us do that. How do we do what God's called us to do? 2020 vision. It's interesting to be married to a school teacher, okay? So she said you pronounce Habakkuk. It drives me crazy sometimes. Habakkuk. Something else. But anyway, I'm going to get it right today. Habakkuk, chapter 2. Us Southerners say Habakkuk. Anyway, I told her, I said, you're just not used to North Carolina language. So if you have your place in Habakkuk, turn to chapter 2. I came from where the preacher said when he didn't know how to pronounce a name, the man with the hard name. So that's not a hard name. Pay attention, though, to this scripture. This is a good word from God. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. That's important. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. That's important. That he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. That's important. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for reading of your word. It's all important. It's important because you said it. And I pray today in Jesus' name that we'll not miss you, but we'll join you. And we'll see where you're at work in our life in 2020. Give us a 2020 vision. May there be clarity of not only seeing, but in our minds, but most of all in our hearts. Because I really believe that's what 2020 is about, is seeing with our hearts. I pray your Holy Spirit now anoint me afresh and anew and speak through me with clarity, truth, and authority, thus saith the Lord. And I pray for the anointing to be upon every listener, that we will hear what the Spirit says. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's important to have good vision. It's also important to have good understanding, amen, and to be clear on something. So that's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about clarity. I heard of a lady who was coming out of a beauty shop, and she saw another lady there at the door, and she said, "Oh, Mary Jones, Mary, what a joy it is to see you. Mary, it's been years since I've seen you. Mary, you look different. Why, you've slimmed down. You've lost weight. You fixed your hair different. You made your face different. Oh, you even look taller than you used to look." Well, Mary said, "I'm not Mary Jones." "Oh," she said, "and you changed your name too." So it's not only that we see clearly, but we understand clearly. And that, so this, what I'm talking about today is really about your heart more so than your eyes. 20/20, we think about someone who has clear vision. If you look that up, that means you can see 20 feet ahead of you. I hope and pray in the name of Jesus that we can look into this year, 2020, and see the Lord at work. Amen. I'm calling this year a year of transformation, because that's what our vision is, transforming our communities one person at a time. But for that transformation to take place, look up here, it's got to start right here and right here. You see, the goal of transformation, you know what it is that we be more like Christ. And that's a real challenge, because you know what? None of us are all that we think we are. We're all hypocrites. None of us have arrived. We're not perfect. We mess up. But our goal is to become more like Christ. I like what the Hebrew writer said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I love that, because he authored your salvation and he has the ability to finish it. Amen. It's not dependent upon you, your salvation. It's really not your salvation. It's his salvation. He saved you. So the question is today, how do we do our vision? 2020 vision is about seeing things clearly. Because you see, I think this book, Habakkuk, he's all messed up like we are. Chapter 1, he's complaining to the Lord. That's counterproductive. You can complain, but it's not going to get you nowhere, right? Complaining people, I think of Israel, and I see people complaining today in churches. And we complain mainly because it's about us. Yeah, things are not suited to our way, so we complain. Where did that get the children of Israel? 40 years in the wilderness. Yeah, they complained. That's what Habakkuk was doing. He was complaining and he was questioning God. He was asking some hard questions like, God, in the first chapter, he says, "Why didn't you hear and answer my prayer? I mean, what's wrong with you, God? Can't you hear?" Ooh, he gets pretty serious about this. Why do people suffer and evil people, why do good people suffer and evil people prosper? That's one of his questions. When I'm doing my best for the Lord, he asks, why do I experience the worst from others? These questions are questions that we ask today. Why is it that for good people, bad things happen? He wondered how a holy God could use such an unholy and ruthless nation to punish men who were more unrighteous than they themselves. God had to, you see, get Habakkuk in the right position. He had to get the right vision, a 2020 vision. I quoted that verse, Hebrews 12:2. I like it. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who says, for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know he's still at the right hand of the throne of God today? Hello? He's praying for us today. He's saying, God, would you work in your church today? That's what he's wanting us to do. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus in 2020. I'm trying to give you 2020 vision now. looking to Jesus, keeping your eyes on him, because he's the author and finisher of our faith. He has the first word, he's the Alpha, and he has the last word, he's the Omega. I love this scripture, Philippians 3:13. You know it? Philippians 3:13, 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press to the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Church, our calling is so important that it would be wise for us to leave the past in the past. Church, we have a high calling than what our past calls us to. And our past causes us to remember because of history, but don't let your past defeat 2020. This is a new year and a new start. Hello, a new beginning. And it's up to you. I love what Henry Blackaby says. He says, see where God is at work and join him. So let's talk about three things. I'm going to make it simple today. Number one, focus. What should your focus be in 2020? Notice what Habakkuk said. I will stand. It's time that you and I learn to take a stand. You see, he got himself in the right position to hear God. One of the best things that could happen today is for you and I to get ourselves in the right position to hear God. Because God speaking is whether or not we're listening, okay? So what should our focus be? Well, number one, it should be personal. And I want you to take it very personal. I want you to take this personal. We watched the movie, and I appreciate the people that came out that did the pancake supper. That was wonderful. But the movie, wow. Oh, that was some movie, Overcomer. And so the question was asked, who are you? Who are you? And so Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. Now notice the personal pronouns in verse 1. Three times you see the personal pronoun, noun, I. Then you'll see the personal pronouns, my, in me, stated three times. In that one verse, it's vital that every member of this church focus themselves on their identity in Christ. Much like the movie Overcomer, we've got to understand who we are. The Greek word here for watch in this chapter 2 is sephar, and it means to keep your eye on something. Are you in the position? Have you got your eyes? Do you have your gaze on God and your glance? You see, on my right side, I barely can see that piano. And to my left, I can barely see that there's a banister over here. That's all I see. But if I've got my eyes on Jesus and I'm focused on him, guess what? I'm going to be following him. Amen? I don't want to follow some piano. I don't want to follow some wall over here. I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to take this personally. R.C. Sproul's A popular Presbyterian theologian said, what do you think is the greatest spiritual need in our world today? And he answered, the greatest spiritual need in our world today is that people will discover their true identity in God and understand God's identity. Romans 6, 16 and 17 says, the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified in him. Now, I want to share some things with you right now to help you get focused. I want you to believe God's word. I want you to take it very personally. Because God said to Moses in Exodus 3, 14 and 15, I am that I am. And because Jesus said in John 15, 5, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am a child of the living God. Will you say that with me? I am a child of the living God. That's what was said in the movie Overcomer. I'm a child of God. I am redeemed. I am justified. I am forgiven. I am loved. I'm a friend of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am accepted. That's one of my favorite, Ephesians 1, 6. I'm accepted in my love. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm complete in him. I am free. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am victorious. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved us. I am his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. I am the apple of his eye. I am the daughter or son of the Most High God. I am a branch of God's vine. I am blessed and highly favored. I am joyful. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am not my own. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am saved. I am justified. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I am God's masterpiece. I am God's special possession. I am anointed. I am chosen. I am God's bride. I am made alive. I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm an overcomer. I've been called. I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I am no longer a slave. I'm created in God's image. I am cleansed by his blood. And as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:10, I am that I am by the grace of God. Amen. Oh, because he said I am, you can say you are. I am a child of God. I said, I am a child of God.
Amen.
That was her ornament on the tree. By the way, if you want your ornaments on the front pew, if you don't, we're going to put it on the tree next year. But I am a child of God. I like what Rich Jocko put. Rich Jocko, he put, I don't know if it's still over here, he made this thing by hand if he hadn't taken it. No? And because he said, I am a child of God. Because of the great I am. That says it all. Are y'all seeing what I got in my finger? I'm everything you need in 2020. It's a smart man that recognizes who the I am is. Moses said, who do I tell Pharaoh sent me? I am that I am. That's all you need in 2020. Let's have our prayer and go home. Friend, I'm telling you, it's the shortest message you ever heard, right? You wish. But anyway, prayer. Our focus to be the church that follows the vision God's given us has got to be prayer. Jesus said it best. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Now, I want to teach you something that I believe God taught me in preparing this message. Notice what he says, because personally, I'm asking, who are you? When it comes to prayer, I'm asking, what are you? Are you a people of prayer? Is our church focused on prayer? Look at verse 1 again. And we'll watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer. Do you know that prayer is a dialogue? Do you know that God really will speak to you? Here's your problem. Here's my problem. We won't be still long enough to hear him. We're always on the go. We're always got that satanic word on our forehead. B-U-S-Y. Bound under Satan's yoke. Oh, it's so easy to get busy. But if you're so busy that you can't talk to God, you're too busy. We need God. You know what prayer says? Prayer says, God, I need you. You are not to do all the talking when you pray. Our God's a speaking God, so allow him to speak. Most of the time, we're doing all the talking. What did Habakkuk say? And the vision, it says, is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Let me tell you something, friend. I believe with all my heart the vision God gave this church is from God, transforming our communities one person at a time. And you prove that. I did not know that the emphasis was coming out. Who's your one? But as soon as we did that vision and we launched it as a church, here comes the North American Mission Board with a question, who's your one? And we're already dealing with transforming our communities one person at a time. I just saw that as God's confirmation, saying, you know what? This is, and so if this vision is ever going to really happen. Because you see, our church adopted the vision. We launched the vision in 2019. 2020 has got to be the year of transformation, because now it's time to do the vision. And it will start when we take it personally of who we are in Christ and we begin to pray like never before. I'm asking Amy to come up every Sunday from now on. You say, preacher, I have an issue with that. She's a woman. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't have any issues with women. I'm married to one. My mother's a woman. And I personally think what Jesus, how he dealt with women, and you men need to hear this, because we can get a little bit too male. Pride can come in here, because I want to tell you the truth about it. Jesus accepted women. Oh, yeah, big time. And then Paul said, it's neither male nor female. You know what? Why can't we see each other regardless of our gender or our color? We're one in Christ. Amen. We are to be unified, not divided. Prayer should unite people. We need to come together and pray like never before. The excitement of knowing, listen, this is excitement. I know I get excited, but this is the most exciting thing I'm about to have a fit now. You get excited when you know you've heard from God. And that's what prayer is all about. Watch what God is doing and what he will tell you. And he says, run with it. Jesus said it best. He said, I want my house to be a house of prayer, because he said, you've made it a den of thieves. Thieves break in and steal. We break into other people's lives and steal when we don't pray for them. Oh, we'll talk about them. And if we take it to the throne like we take it to the phone, we'd see revival break loose. We steal someone else's blessing. We steal each other's peace. We must learn to take it to God. We must learn to come to the altar, to the closet of prayer, not to the parking lot, not outside the walls of this church. But oh, this altar is the place that we said we love to meet God. And by the way, this altar is always open. Amen. We need to get prayer back into church, and then maybe it'll get back in school. Hey, hello. You know why it was taken out of school? Because it's been taken out of our homes. It's been taken out of our churches. And yet Jesus said, make prayer your focus. Make my house a house of prayer. And then third, our focus needs to be on power. Oh, I got your attention. Where are you? And what I shall answer when I am reproved or corrected. And there needs to be correction when it comes to understanding the power. Because the power I'm talking about today is the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about a power struggle that you see in a church. I'm not talking about people that are control freaks that they've got to be in power. You see, that's why the power of God is not in our churches. We want to be in control. We do. Be honest. We like having a say-so. We like having our way. That's what happened from the very beginning. Man had his way and sin came. But what would happen? What would happen? I've got a question for you. What would happen if the Holy Ghost of God filled the church? Well, here's what would happen. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. And friend, what a church that would be. Amen? Well, that's what God wants for his church. We need to focus on the power of God's Spirit. You've all heard about power struggles, but what about a powerful Spirit that God has sent to us? We pray for the comfort in the context of our comfort and our circumstances. We find ourselves in a difficult situation and we say, God, why don't you hear my prayer and make me comfortable and make my circumstances better? Listen to me. This is how God spoke to me. The answer to the prayer is that God used you being uncomfortable and your circumstances to get your attention. And by the way, God knows how to get our attention. I have visited many people in hospitals laying on their back and say, well, preacher, now I can't do nothing but look up. Don't let it have to get there. Don't let another 9/11 take place. God knows how to get his people's attention. You say, did God cause 9/11? No, I believe a bunch of cowards did. But at the same time, I believe God wants to use circumstances and things to get us out of our comfort zone so that we'll learn to depend on His power. You see, God's a complete gentleman. He doesn't make you do anything. He wants you to come to Him because you want to and because you need Him. We need His Holy Spirit's power. We know that there's power in prayer, but do we understand that we may be the answer to our prayer? We pray in the context of our comfort and our circumstances to change, but the answer may be God wanting to change or correct us, not our comfort or circumstances. The reproving that Habakkuk said about, he said that he may correct me. He knew he was in the wrong. Do you know you're in the wrong? We pray for other people and circumstances to change when the answer to our prayer is that God might change us. That you've heard the saying, well, prayer changes things. No, prayer changes you. That's where the change needs to happen. It does, really. God wants to change us. Transformation is learning to be more like Him and less like us. Well, let's talk about family. Because I'm putting this in here because in verse 2, he says, and the Lord answered me. Ananias, Ashley, what does it mean? My Lord. That's right. She just got through singing it. She didn't know I was going to be preaching on it. But where Jesus is Lord, certain things happen. Now look up here, folks. We are made the family of God because Jesus is Lord. Yeah. He determines whether you get to be a brother or sister, right? He does the saving. And something we've got to have some 2020 vision on is how we operate as a family. Here's what Jesus meant when he was talking about lordship. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they answer me. Where Jesus is Lord, people listen. Can y'all say that with me? Where Jesus is Lord, people listen. Say it again. Where Jesus is Lord, people listen. We don't listen to the world. We don't listen to what our friends say. We don't listen to gossip. We listen to the Lord. That's our 2020 vision, that we would be focused. What is the Lord saying? That is what this chapter really is all about. What is the Lord saying? He's Lord. He's Lord in this family. He's the owner and operator of this church. He owns this church. He owns us as His children. We are not our own. We all belong to the Lord. If you believe that as a church, can I hear a strong amen?
Amen.
We are not our own. This is not my church. This is not your church. It's His church. He paid the price for it. His own blood. This is not a social group. This is not just a family reunion. We are called the family of God. Amen? We call each other brother and sister. All right, we're talking about family. And we've talked about where Jesus is Lord. And where Jesus is Lord at, there will be life and there will be love. And so I'm going to finish with this section under family, talking about life and love. He says in verse 2, the middle of the verse, he said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I also believe that where there is vision, the people, the church, will flourish and have life. We are the family of God, and our church and our God has life. We function as a family, not as individual family members. We need each other. The vision God's given us will not work unless we work together as a family unit. When we were working on this vision, we said that we wanted a vision that would include the entire family. We have built a $1.5 million building, and we call it the Family Life Center, because we believe where Jesus is Lord, there will be a family of God and there will be life. How can we have life in this family? Because where Jesus is, there is life, and where Jesus is, there is love. He says in verse 2, the last part, that he may run that readeth it. Now, I'm fixing to get very personal concerning me, so you might want to pay attention. Because I've always been very conscious of this. I went to a church when I was 28 or 29, and all I heard from the people, and by the way, I didn't plan to say this, this just came to my mind. The people said of the last pastor, he said he loved us, but then he left us. That really bothered me. So I was very careful how I said to the church, I love you. And I said to myself, you know what? I don't want to just say it. I want to live it. So I remained there at that church. I was their pastor for 25 straight years. 25 years I was their pastor. You know why? I'm going to tell you why I believe God put me there at that church. Those people love this pastor. And I love them. And let me tell you something. I didn't want to leave. When you feel that kind of love, you want to stay right there. You say, well, why are you here? Well, maybe this is the reason I'm fixing to tell you. Because I want to talk now about a journey to surrender, sacrifice, and service. You see, you cannot run with a vision. If you don't have both feet in. And I've struggled with this ever since I've become your pastor. I've struggled with a lot of things, more so any time in my life. I was told when I came here that we want a preacher that you just stick with the preaching. That's all you got to do. I thought, wow. Another guy told me, a deacon, he said, you just be in the office from 9 to 5. That's all you have to be. I thought, well, dang, this is a whole different way of looking at ministry. I've never seen ministry like this. I've always thought both feet in. When I answered a call to preach the gospel at 14, it was both feet in. When I accepted my first church at 19, it was both feet in. When I accepted my second church, it had 1,200 members, and that church was amazing. That church spoiled me. It really did. They had the resources and they took good care of me, gave me a new car every year. I'm like, wow, didn't expect that. But both feet were in. In my last church where I was there 25 years, I had both feet in. In fact, when I left there, it was hard to get both feet out. But after being through all that I've been here, it's time for me to have both feet in 100%. You know why? Because number one, God called me here. And without both feet in, I can't be effective, nor can you. Both feet have to be in. It is a journey to surrender. It is a journey to sacrifice. It's a journey of service, but it's a journey of love. And one thing I can say, and I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it, I want you to look at me. I've come to love you. We got some wonderful people here.
I've come to love you.
I love you too, sister. If we would just learn, church is all about where Jesus is Lord, there will be life and there will be love. You say, oh, that's just that goody-two-shoes type preaching. Oh, no, that's who God is. God is love. And by the way, did he have both feet in on the cross?
Amen.
How many people in our church are athletic? Oh, Eric, raise your hand, please. I know you are. All right. You can't run if you don't have both feet in. If you're going to run with this vision, you've got to be committed to it. You've got to go all the way. You've got to go all the way, regardless of the surrender, the sacrifice, or the service. You do it because you love God. And so the next slide I want to show you is what the vision is. Our vision is transforming our communities one person at a time. And Habakkuk, whatever you say it. He said, write the vision and make it plain. And then run with it. Amen? You can't run with it if you don't have both feet in. Everyone in this family, everyone, I'm going to say it again, everyone in this family counts. And we're counting on you to tell someone about Jesus. What if every one of us did that? Can I tell you about the Family Life Center right quick? Last Sunday, the youth did a fantastic job. Y'all believe that? Say amen. Man, did they show us love? Did they show us unity? They did it. I think that was the best youth Sunday I think in my lifetime I've ever been to. Really. A lot of tears, a lot of emotion. It was a good Sunday. But the best was yet to be after you left. Because a grandmother said, you need to go to the Family Life Center. And I went over there and our youth leader was talking to someone who was touched through that youth Sunday. And the first person to accept Christ in our Family Life Center was last Sunday. By the way, that's worth more than $1.5 million. I said that's worth more than $1.5 million. Because I'm telling you something, friend. Our vision when we built that building was simply this, to reach our community. Our vision is transforming our communities one person at a time. I plan to lead our church to do some crazy things in 2020. I want to ask our church to host a golf thing over here. You know why? We have a golf community. We got Anderson Creek Club and Carolina Lakes. I don't care a thing about golf, but I care about the people that play golf. We need to do some stuff that will interest them so we can introduce our community one person at a time to Jesus Christ. If we don't let them know that we really care about them, how will they hear the gospel? Somebody's got to care. Transforming our communities one person at a time. I don't think that's just our vision. I think that's God's vision. I really do. And last, and I'm done, and that is the word faith. This is important that I talk about this today. I see these three things. You see it in the last part of verse 4. The just shall live by what? By his faith. So let's talk about it. Shall live by his faith. He turns fear into faith. Here's a man who was scared to death. The Babylonian people were taking over Israel, and he could see it as a prophet. In chapter 1, he was complaining, he was griping, he was questioning God. But oh, he got to see God at work. And church, I want you to think with me as I talk about this, where we really are. If there ever was a time that you and I need to walk by faith and not by sight, it's today. Now, none of you know what 2020 holds. But by faith, we believe that God is still on his throne. Amen? Amen. We believe that Jesus is still Lord. Amen? Amen? And so as I share this, I know this is what God put on my heart. It always seems to come down many times in a Baptist church. I'm sorry to say this, but I'm one that believes in just speaking the truth. But many times we are hindered because we are fearful of what it's going to cost us. Yeah. And so our focus, many times, I'm sorry to say, and I've been in the ministry all my life, it seems that it comes down to finances when it should come down to our faith that works. You see, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So faith says, God, you're bigger than I am, so I'm stepping out on faith in a big God. Faith, the Bible says, defines it, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A godly faith promotes faith rather than a godly vision promotes faith rather than fear. A godly vision motivates people to action, not fear. You see, this is important. A godly vision requires risk taking. A godly vision glorifies God and not people. I really believe this vision, or I wouldn't stand behind this pulpit and preach this today, is not from Gorge Springs Baptist Church. I believe this is God's vision, transforming our communities one person at a time. You know why? I believe that's parallel with the Great Commission. And it starts right here in this community. Paul talked about it in Acts. Let it start with your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the othermost part of the earth. All right, going to be straight with you now. Number one, behavior. He says in verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up. That's talking about pride. Behold, his soul which is lifted up, the proud, is not upright. You see, pride goes before a fall. Belief will always affect your behavior. As this vision undoubtedly related to the destruction of the Babylonian monarchy, which is plainly foretold in Habakkuk. Verse 5, to the end of the chapter in chapter 2. If you think we can do it on your own, you're full of yourselves and you're destined to fail. Jesus said it best when he said in Matthew 23:12, without me you can do nothing. And he says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Do you want a future with God in it? Then humble yourself under his mighty hand. Habakkuk 2:4. If you puff up, if you lift up yourself, you will not be an upright people. You will not be upright in God. If you're going to fight the fight, then let's fight it together. Let's be together. Yes, it is a spiritual warfare. We're not to fight with one another. Real families stick together. Faith without works is dead, as I said. We have a lot of dead churches today because faith is never put into practice. We talk about it. We've talked about our focus. We've talked about our family. We've talked about faith. But what about our forgiveness, speaking of behavior? Have you been forgiven of your sin? Have you given forgiveness? Think about the movie Overcomer. The girl forgiving her father said, "If my heavenly father forgives me, then I must forgive my earthly father." The grandmother, she had to forgive the father too. Forgiveness sets us free. Can I read a devotion to you before we leave? It's worth it. It's worth your time. It was in our daily bread just recently on 12/4/19. It was titled Free from Condemnation. As a couple drove their trailer through dry Northern California, they felt a tire blow and heard the scrape of metal against pavement. The sparks initiated the 2018 Carl Fire, they said, a wildfire that burnt nearly 230,000 acres, destroyed more than 1,000 homes, and resulted in several deaths. When survivors heard how the couple was overcome with grief, they formed a Facebook page to show grace and extend kindness for the shame and despair enveloping them. One woman wrote, now this was all in our daily bread on December the 4th. One woman wrote, as someone that lost their home to this fire, I need you to know my family does not blame you, nor do any of the families that have lost homes. Accidents happen. She goes on, I really hope these kind messages ease your burden. We will all get through this together. When I read that devotion, I wrote this down and I saved that devotion. What would be the church, the family of God, look like if we freed others from condemnation? Sometimes we who name the name of Christ can be the most condemning. We condemn each other. The Bible says there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And one thing this pastor has recognized over the years, not everybody's at the same place, and we need to show mercy to each other. The Bible calls it sanctification, and that sanctification process is that some are, you know, they've never really grown in the Lord. They need to grow in the Lord, and that's what we need to be doing as a church to disciple people. We need to be making disciples so that their belief and their behavior can be joined. So I want to talk about belief. He says, but the just, who are the just? He is the one that believed in the coming of Christ and believed in him when he comes, who has no overwhelming opinion of himself or of his own righteousness, nor does he trust in it for his justification before God. And he has his acceptance in Christ. The righteousness of Christ has been imputed to you as a believer. So that's why you believe. Those who believe, they have been justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Listen to Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the last thing, how can we really get a 2020 vision, preacher? What will it take? How can we make this vision so clear, crystal clear? Well, I'm glad y'all asked. I'm going to give you my very last point, the B-I-B-L-E. You see, he says, the just shall live by his faith. Well, the question is, how do you get faith? Well, the Bible says, do I need to say it again? The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want you to start looking at Bible reading in a whole different way. Every time I pick up the Bible, I'm increasing my faith. Yeah. Yeah, you are. Now, the devil will tell you, your flesh will tell you, you're wasting your time. But look up here, church. Believe me when I say it. And if I didn't love you and I didn't care about you, I wouldn't even waste your time talking about this. But every time you pick up your Bible, your faith will grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And by the way, the reason the devil don't want you to pick up the Bible, because he knows your faith will grow. And if our faith grows in our God, look up here, church, there's nothing impossible with our God. Nothing. You say, preacher, how in the world are we ever going to get out of this debt? Our God. Amen. You say, preacher, how can you speak with such confidence? Been there and done that. You know what I know our God can do? Anything our God wants to do. He's still on the throne. He is the great I am. Y'all got that. And Ashley, what does Al and I mean? My Lord. Is that a personal pronoun? Would you take that personally? Yes. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's real. How do I know that he lives? Because he lives within my heart. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. I serve a living God. He gives life. He gives love. And thank God, I'm going to try not to cry. He gives us his word. On the Bible app, you know I'm going to talk about that. I said on the Bible app, yesterday, I hit it. Here's what it said. Charles Spurgeon was quoted by saying, to trust God in the light is nothing, but to trust him in the dark, that is faith. I don't know what 2020 holds, but I know who holds 2020. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you, Jeff Etten asked me to do this, but I tell you, I'm going to save your time. If you got any questions, ask Laura Hash. She can tell you better than I can. But you know what? This little Bible app, it's right there. I know all of y'all can see that. Little Bible app. And all you got to do is hit it. And it comes up, and the scriptures today is Psalm 4, Matthew 4, 23, 28, 25, Matthew 5, 1 through 20, Genesis 9, 18 to 29, Genesis 10, Genesis 11 through 9. You say, preacher, I don't have the Bible. I can't read four chapters a day, you know, read through the Bible the whole year. Just read four, isn't that right? Four chapters a day, you'll read through the whole Bible. This is a great tool. You know what I like about it? Talk it over. That's the last part. And I love you folks for what you've done this week. Many of you have got on this app. Many of you have shared your favorite verse. By the way, my phone pops up twice. I get it. I don't know how this works, Laura. But I get an email every time you say something. And then I get it and through the Bible app. So every time you read your Bible, I know about it. I'm watching you. Woo! But you're watching me. And we're accountable to each other through the Bible app. Yeah. Am I right, Laura? So if you want to figure it out, go to Laura. She'll help you. I know she will. She's a good woman. Transforming our communities one person at a time. We have a community that needs transformation. But the invitation is different today. Be very careful. And by the way, I'm going to be more focused in my sermons. This is focused. The invitation is, transform us first, God. Notice I'm pointing the fingers back to me. I need to be more like Jesus in 2020 than I was in 2019. How about you? Well, the altar's open. Prayer is our focus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, may your Holy Spirit be here today giving this invitation. Because the invitation is not mine. I don't give invitations. I can't. Save anybody. I can't change anyone's life. So the invitation is all about you. This is your invitation. And I like the choice of the song today, just as I am. Lord, we don't have to do anything, but just come just as we are. With all of our fears, all of our stress, all of our shortcomings, all of our sins, we can come to you just as we are. Someone said, well, I need to straighten some things out before I come to God. We will never get them straightened out. We need to come just as we are. And then you'll straighten them out. I pray for this invitation today that God, you will really call us by name, that we would see this vision come to life in 2020. This is the year of transformation, and may this transformation start with this preacher and these people. May we show this community that Gourd Springs Baptist Church is more like Jesus than ever before. God, that's my earnest prayer. Both feet in. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and sing.